It is the 9th, right? Yeah, hang on a minute. I'll pass them out. It is the 9th of, is it 121? Right there. 9th, there is Mr. Marchand. 9th of May, and we're going to be, where's the pen? We're going to be discussing retirement planning today, which we've been discussing pretty much all semester long, because if you start early and do the things we do in here, you won't have to worry too much about retirement, unlike a lot of people who are worrying, big time worrying, but you won't have to do that because you will be awesome, right? And when's the exam? Alvaro, Christian, Giovanna, Marco. Okay, Giovanna and Marco. No, that's, yeah, Marco. And Christian Moran. Did you pass that back to Christian? Okay. When's the exam? Everyone wants to say May 23rd. Wait till I ask you. When's the exam? May 23rd. So if you're not going to be here, 23rd, contact me, please, so we can make arrangements. I'm very happy to make arrangements, but you need to contact me or else that's it, because that's the end of the semester. I'm gone. I'm out of here. And you will be screwed. So you don't want that, right? Okay, so Kenya's here. All right, so today we've got retirement planning. And we're going to see that the news is actually pretty good, especially if you start early, do the things that we learned how to do here. But the news could be very bad if you don't do that. So that's what we're going to do today. Any good jokes? Who's got a good joke? Anybody have a good, nobody has a good joke? Did I tell you about the three junkies that were sharing needles? This is really serious. I mean, you've got to be on your guard, right? Well, these three junkies, these three heroin addicts, right? They're sharing needles. And their buddy comes up and says, God, I told you guys, don't do that. It's dangerous. You get AIDS that way. And they said, no, it's cool. Everything's cool. We're all wearing condoms. Oh, this is dumb. I love dumb jokes. And one of the students in the morning class said, you shouldn't be making jokes about that. I said, hey, life is a terminal disease, right? You know, everybody's going to die, so you might as well laugh about it. Just pick the way you want to die. You don't get the chance to let somebody pick the way you want to die. Okay. So if you were not here on Tuesday, we went through retirement and estate planning. So I have a handout for you. But even though in the handout, as we said on Tuesday, there are calculations, they will not be on the exam, okay? So no calculations from, who wasn't here on Tuesday? A couple people. So pass these out. Pass those out for me, okay? One over there, one over there. Here you go, Eric. Okay, and give one to Mr. Martinez.
Is it just this one from Tuesday?
That thing passed around. There it is. Here. Who's passing it out? There it is. Okay.
You're actually right here.
Okay, right over there. Guillermo, right there. Okay. What you will hear folks in their 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have done things a whole lot differently. And so you are going to live that long, statistically. Nobody knows for sure, but you should plan accordingly. Oh, by the way, this is what's going on right now. Within 10, 12 years, right, by 2030, 76 million baby boomers will have retired. Our baby boom generation will have been retired by then. And there's only 46 million Gen Xers that are coming up to replace them. And so we hear about incredibly low unemployment now. Why is that? Because the boomers, which weren't going anywhere, they were sticking around because they weren't ready, they're finally, I'm one of them, we're finally leaving. We're finally getting rid of us. And now we're scrambling, we as a country are scrambling for individuals to fill our positions. Did you know that? There's a few, no, you, it's true. In my industry, there's a future for you in the investment industry. Why? Because a lot of us old folks are getting ready to retire or die. And they need minorities. They need women. They need bilingual, ex-military. They know they understand. They understand they need diversity. because the world is diverse. I don't care what Pinchy Trump says. Okay? So, why should you think about retirement now? Because people are spending more years, statistically 16 to 20. Sound like a test question? How many years are people spending in retirement? It used to be that people would retire at 62 and die at 64. All right? Or maybe they didn't even make it to retirement, especially men smoking. But now people are retiring at 62 and living until 92. So you have to be prepared for that. Yes, question is just right here. Okay. Okay. A private pension plan and Social Security are most often insufficient to cover the cost of... What private pension plan? How many companies are offering private pension plans anymore? Not many. Not many. If you go into the public realm, teacher, whatever, we still have them. but not the private world. Inflation may, the book says may, no, not may, will. Inflation does not go away just because you stopped working. It will diminish your purchasing power. So some spending expenses will go down. Work, clothing, housing, income taxes. I always tease my wife. We can get rid of one of our cars when we retire. And she looks at me and says, you can get rid of your car. Other expenses probably will go up. Medical, health care is going to go up. Leisure, you want to do more stuff. Gifts and contributions. Some cultures, it's just expected that the grandparents are going to pay for the kids to go to private school. That ain't going to happen. My son's not going to have any kids. I'm not worried about it. Inflation will raise the amount you need to cover your expenses over your probable how many years? 19 to 20. Sound like a test question?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. The tricky wild card, in my humble opinion, is healthcare. It's the only thing that scares me. And it shouldn't, but it does. Because you just never know how you're going to go along. You don't know what's going to happen to you. And in this country, we don't have universal communist healthcare. You've got to come up with a lot of what you pay. And they're saying now $250,000 for a typical couple. They're going to pay that much over the next 16 to 20 years healthcare. They could spend a whole lot more if things go wrong, and not a whole lot less if things don't go wrong. But here is how the average person, whatever that means, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, and to me, this is a bit of a tragedy. You shouldn't be, in my humble opinion. Now, of course, not everybody's going to be able to afford a house, but we hope you do, are able to afford a condo, a house, or whatever. And so by the time you're ready to retire, should you be spending a full third of your income on housing? I hope not. But not everybody, that's realistic. It is not realistic that everyone's going to buy a home, but especially in San Diego, but maybe buy it in TJ. Transportation is a big deal for some people. It shouldn't be. Hopefully it won't be. 5 to 10 years, hopefully we're going to have driverless cars. You'll say, you know, I don't really want to buy a car. This is going to cost me upwards of $800 a month or so to own a car, and all everything is said and done, $600, $700, $800. Wouldn't you rather spend a couple hundred dollars and have the darn thing come pick you up when you needed it? Because you love your cell phones, right? Kind of like a video game. I'm hoping, because when I'm driving, I'm scared to death. I don't know about you, but you see these people go, they think, don't worry about it. I know how to drive. How many people are excellent drivers in here? How many people are excellent drivers? Come on, raise your hands high. How many people are good drivers? You don't want to answer me, do you? How many people are average drivers? How many people are fair drivers and poor drivers? Well, you know, you're out here. In surveys, you know, you're not answering me because you don't want to tell me. In surveys, over 80% of people say they're either excellent or good drivers. Well, they're just fooling themselves, right? It's called the Lake Wobegon effect. You ever hear of Lake Wobegon? Where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average? How can they all be above average? Because then the average, so everyone is above average driver. And that's going to go away. I hope so. I hope so because I'm scared to death. And somebody hit me, some jerk, young jerk, hit me, knocked me over, broke 7 ribs. So you don't want to be in this situation where you're spending a full third on housing, a full sixth on transportation. Wouldn't you really rather be spending it on entertainment and where's travel and leisure? And, okay, anyway. Consider the cost of living and taxes. See, most people after 20, 30 years, they've raised the kids, they've lived in the house, they prefer to stay in their home. And the statistic hasn't changed. About 6 out of 7 people will remain in their homes until they pass away. In the last few weeks, maybe in the hospital or whatever. And, well, that's the reality, right? Hospice care is a lot help, lot more helpful now. If you're not dying, they'll send people to your house, so you get to die in your home. What's happening is that, did I bring it? No, of course not. Oh, well, don't worry about it. These retirement homes, continuing, they're bursting at the seams. Why? The statistic hasn't changed. It's just a whole lot more of us old folks. Baby boomers, there's a whole lot more of us. So these places are just exploding. Some people will decide to, we don't want to talk about reverse mortgages. Because I forgot to bring the visual aid. I left it in my office, which is really smart. Or maybe I didn't. I don't know. We'll talk about it later, maybe. If not, don't worry about it. Would you decide to relocate? Leave San Diego? Carlos says, yeah. It's a hell of a lot cheaper. You go to Arizona or New Mexico or Nevada. Hell no, I ain't going to Nevada. Well, if you do, my humble opinion, my advice, is don't sell the San Diego condo or house. Not at first. Hang on to it. Move to the other cheaper location. Rent it out, whatever. And then after a year or two, if you're happy, where you move to, Washington, I don't know, somewhere, then sell it. Because if you sell it and try to come back, are you going to be able to come back and buy a place? No. And we have friends who did that. They moved up to Paso Robles, Atascadero. You know what that is? Beautiful. Absolutely good. But it's cold. It's cold in the winter. And they wanted to forget it. They're not moving back to San Diego. Now, more and more Americans are retiring abroad. Hey, Costa Rica, anyone? Costa Rica, Mexico, Baguio. Anybody, any Filipinos in here? Baguio? Yeah. Tell us about Baguio.
No, I haven't been there.
You haven't been there? It's supposed to be absolutely gorgeous. There's lots of Americans who live there. It's in the Philippines. Right? So you can live in Baguio.
How do you
Well, I wouldn't. You can, but I would not. I would leave the financial institutions in the United States with the funds. That's what I would do. And then transfer monthly to your bank, local bank, in where you move to. Well, there are fees whenever you transfer money, but it depends on what you use. Western Union has the best prices often. But they're assholes. Excuse my French. They're absolute jerks. They're unbelievable jerks. And so, have you ever heard of Zoom? Anybody use Zoom? No? There are ways of doing it. Zoom.com is one of the easiest ways to transfer money. And then some of the banks have, like BBVA. Have you heard of Bancomer? They have branches here in the States. So you can have an account there, and they'll transfer it. And I think the fee is very reasonable. But I'm not moving my stuff out of the States. I'm keeping it in the financial institutions in the States. Does that make sense? Yeah. And they'll transfer it anywhere around the world, this company and Western Union. And there are others. You've heard of MoneyGram? Never tried them. Yeah, what?
It's
Walmart. Walmart owns MoneyGram? Walmart wants to be a bank. Walmart wants to be a bank. Freddie Roger said, no. Apple wants to be a bank. They got tons of cash. They want to be a bank. They're not allowed to. No. Yes?
It's cheaper, though. But I was wondering, what would be your reason to not?
Because I've been with them for decades. I trust them. I know they know what they're doing. And I just don't want to goof with anybody else. That doesn't mean I'm right, but I just... Because I would love, in a heartbeat, I'd move to Mexico. In a heartbeat, I would move to Zihuatanejo, maybe Puerto Vallarta. But my wife's not going to do that. She says, we can go more often and you can stay longer. So I'll stay longer. But she's not moving to Puerto Vallarta. Even though she loves Puerto Vallarta. Have you ever been to PV? Tell you folks, dirt cheap. Go on, it's Volaris. You heard of Volaris? Volaris? Volaris, right? Cross the border into TJ, Round trip to put whatever at the $170, sometimes cheaper, sometimes more. Zihuatanejo now is direct. Huatulco is now direct. La Paz, Cancun. No, Cancun's not. Well, do they have a direct? I don't think they have a direct. I think they do. No, they don't. They don't have a direct. They do have a direct. Although I've been to once on the East Coast. Like, I don't like it that much. I like part. So, would you retire abroad? You still got to pay your federal income taxes. Unless you renounce your citizenship, which I don't think is a good idea, but you can do it. But you still got to pay your federal income taxes. So, healthcare is an issue. Wherever you go, you got to be careful. If you cancel Medicare because you're not in the States anymore, you come back because you're sick and you want to get Medicare. They say, no. You got to go back and pay the years that you were gone. They're not going to see you. Yeah, they're not going to do it. Because that's what some people do. They'll retire when they're in good health and then go somewhere else. And then they're not in so good health, but come back to the United States. Okay, I want my health care here. And they can't. Medicare says, fine, but you, for the years that you were gone, you got to pay back. So none of that shenanigans. Now, social insecurity. I'm sorry, what's it called? Social security. You know, when they survey folks in your age bracket, you younger folks, right? And ask them what the probability is of seeing a social security check. You, as a group, say, I have a higher probability of seeing a UFO, alien, than seeing a Social Security check. In which case, I usually come back and say, when people say, Social Security's not going to be around. I say, well, you think the United States is going to be around in 40 years? Yeah, well, Social Security will be around. Now, it's going to change. It's going to change. It has to change. It cannot continue the way it's going. You'll hear people say it's going broke. No, it's not going broke. It's just not going to be able to pay out everything it's been promised. And that's because of us, the baby boomers. We are this huge bulge in the population. And there's a reason why that. So we're going to change it. Don't think it's not going to go away. But when it was created back in the late 30s, it was never meant to be your sole source of income. And for some reason, people along the way say, I don't have to worry. I'll get Social Insecurity. And then a few years from retirement, they look at how much they're going to get, and they move to Baguio or Morelia. I met a few people in Morelia who were living off their Social Security very nicely, get an apartment for a couple $100s, or a house for outside for $100 a month. Food's cheap, plenty of stuff to do, Morelia. Most beautiful Mexican city you never heard of. And there's a direct flight from TJ. Round trip, sometimes $130. Round trip to Morelia. Go, see it. It's like going to Europe, but it's a whole lot cheaper. Okay, so Social Security is not your retirement plan. You're going to get it, thankful. Thank you very much, Uncle Sam, but that's not what you're interested in. Because look at what's happening here. When it started in 1938, you got your full benefits at 65 years or so, right? But now, you don't get your full benefits till 67 years. So in the interim, between the late 30s and now, the retirement age has gone up 2 years. But people are living far longer. You see the problem? That's the problem, right? So how do we deal with that? Well, we'll come back to that in a minute. Not in a minute, but in a few minutes. But first, let's take a look at the two different types of pension plans. Does this guy have any good? Yeah, that's purple. We don't want purple. That's good. And I want you to remember these. They're going to be on the exam. But people just don't remember the names. The defined benefit plan is what we often call a pension, or the traditional pension plan, or whatever. Defined benefit. What are they going to do for us? Well, when you work for a certain company, or maybe for the school district, or another government agency, every month they're taking money out of your paycheck. Maybe they're fully funding it, not too much anymore, right? And when you retire, they look at this formula and they say, okay, you get a certain amount of money depending on when you retired, what your salary was, how many years you have been in service, and what your age is. If you retire earlier, they're going to lower it because you got a longer lifespan. If you retire later, they're going to give you more money. Are you with me? Understand? And for us, in fact, this is what I'm going through right now. They take your salary and they multiply it times your number of years of service. I have 36 and a half years, if you can believe that. Some of you can't believe that. were there community colleges times 6 interviews? And then they multiply it times an age factor, which for us, the age factor, if you made it this long, is 2.4%. So my salary times number of years times 2.4%. These things are going away. They are disappearing. Companies are saying no more. Because what's happening, people are living longer. It's a great problem to have. But it's a problem, right? So they don't want to deal with this. They do not want to have a traditional pension plan. And you hear people in the public sector screaming and hollering that we should get rid of these things for school teachers and government workers and police and firemen. Have you heard the political screams about that? You will. It'll continue. Because they want to get rid of it. What they want to do... Okay, by the way, you don't have to worry about any decisions. In my case, it's called STRS, State Teachers Retirement System. They have a huge pension fund. They invest it. I have nothing to do with it. I get this for the rest of my life. Cool? They're gone. They're going away. Right? They're going away. When I came here, I left the industry. I was a programmer, scientific programmer. And I took a 20% pay cut. I figured, it's for a semester. And they give you all the people. Now it's online. They don't give you paperwork anymore. But they gave us paperwork then. Now you have to go online. And I'm looking at them going, this ain't bad. I was 25 years old. This ain't bad. Maybe I might reconsider. I figured, what are they going to do, fire me? It's only a semester. I was here for a semester. I was only full-time for a semester. First time I tutored before at the Marine Recruit Depot. But I had never taught. And I thought, I'll screw up. What are they going to do, fire me? It's only one semester. We had this, where I went to school, we had this motto. You can survive anything for one semester. And then I saw this, and I thought, So then the position became permanent. I reapplied and got it. I've been here ever since. They're gone. They're disappearing. You understand? You are now on the hook. You are now going to be offered a defined contribution plan. So you're going to remember these two names? And then after the final, you're going to forget them, right? Don't do that. Because you're the financial expert for your friends and family, and you can't let them down. And you have heard of these things as 401ks, 403bs, 457s, 401as, pension, money purchase pension plans, stock bonus plans, profit sharing plans. You know, they're, no one can come up with a good name. Because do you think defined contribution is a good name? No. 401k? What is that? Where the hell did that name come from? There's a section in the Internal Revenue Code, which is 17,000 pages long, that it called 401k. And if you do what you're supposed to do and your employer does what they're supposed to do, then the IRS says, Domini, Domini, Sanctus, Sanctus, no taxes. Is that cool? So we go to the IRS and we say, can't you come up with a better name than 401k? And they say, yeah. We also call them salary reduction plans. Isn't that what you want? You want your salary reduced? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, you do. But don't worry. They're paying it to you. It's just going into your own pension plan. And so now you decide where the money goes. You decide how to invest it. You decide how much money you want to contribute. And hopefully your employer matches that. They don't match. 403Bs are for school teachers and other government employees. They don't match us. But some of you, how many people? Anyone have a 401k at work? No one here? You're going to be offered it, yeah?
I've been wanting to get my mom wants me to get the vendor has been sending a lot of emails, and I know the fact they have.
At your work?
Yeah.
There's a 401k.
With Vanguard.
And well, Vanguard's the investment company. Do they match?
I talked to them. They told me I have to find out on my own.
Oh. Usually your human resources department will help you. And they'll point you into direction. But this is so cool. This is so cool. Because if you... Remember we went through investments, right? Take business 123. Think about it. If you invest prudently, consistently, with an eye toward long-term growth, don't get greedy when the markets explode. Don't panic when the markets fall. You have the potential to have a much better retirement salary than anything these people are going to all give you. Why? Because they have to be very, very conservative. They now can invest more in stocks, but mostly they have to invest in bonds. And we saw how well bonds did over the long term, right? Whereas you can invest in stocks for the long term, prudently, wisely. Don't put everything on red number 7, aggressive growth funds, growth in income, balance fund, whatever. And you'll have a much better salary than what these will give you. However, there's, it's a dual-edged sword. If you don't invest wisely, or what some people do, they don't bother putting any money in. Or they put everything in the aggressive growth fund, and then when the market falls, what do? Put it all in the money market fund. And then when the market roars back up, what do? Put it back in the aggressive. Ooh, is it too late to get in? Are you going to do that? No. No, you're going to invest. And some companies now, you start working, they automatically, the Congress lets them do this now, they automatically start putting 3 or 5% of your salary into a 401k. And you can't sue them. As long as they put it in the target date fund. They look at your age, and they say, okay, you're going to retire in about 40 years or 30 years or 20 years. They put it in the target date fund that corresponds to your approximate date of retirement. You can't sue them. They are off the hook. You understand? If they put you in that red number 7 and you lost all your money, you could then sue them and win. You would win, too. You'd probably win. Yes?
What if you don't put the money into a 401k? Is that like...
Well, where are you putting it?
You're just like having
it. And you're spending it?
No.
Going into... Oh, you put it in a Roth?
Yeah.
Cole, okay, I'll do it. I mean, I do a Roth and a 403b. I started when I was 25, folks, and it wasn't because I knew what I was doing. I didn't. But I came on campus. I was a computer nerd. I was a geek. I was a math guy, right? I came here, and an economics professor, Tom Crescenzo, immediately took me under his wing. He's from Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia. We're Italians, Goombas. You ever been to Philadelphia? You're not missing anything. Okay, but anyway, he moved out, I moved out, so he realized he's smart. You got to at least get out of Philadelphia. And so he said, Frank, this is a great job. You're going to love it. But you need to start putting money away in a 403B. You understand? You don't have to put much. You're young. Just start putting money away. So, okay, Tom. So I started putting money away. Did I tell you this story?
Yeah,
I think I did, yeah. 10 years later, about 10 years later, he said, boy, I wish I was putting money. He's still putting money away. I said, yeah, Tom, I'm putting money away. I wish I had done that. Then 4 years later, he was dead. So you understand? Yes, okay, yes.
Do IRAs have interest?
It depends on what you put the money in. If you put the money into a savings account, we're going to get to a slide in a bit, but the IRA is simply a bucket. The 401k is simply a bucket. It's where you put the investment in. And if you put bonds in there or bond mutual funds, you're going to earn interest. If you put stocks in there, you're going to get capital gains. You're going to get dividends. You can actually put real estate into an IRA. Don't do it, but you can. If you really want real estate, get a real estate mutual fund, a REIT fund, real estate investment trusts, or you can buy real estate investment trusts like stocks. So it depends on what you put in the IRA, what you put in. I know there's a confusion about that. People will say, well, how much money can I make in a Roth IRA? That's the wrong question. What investments can I put into the Roth IRA, and what kind of returns will they give me? That's the right question. Did I answer your question? I don't think so.
But, like, I don't know, maybe I'm confusing it. It's like a CD.
You can go to a bank and have CDs. Right, you can go to a bank. Open up a Roth IRA, an IRA at a bank, and say, I want to put CDs into my Roth IRA. And the bank will say, sure, no problem. What are you going to get?
1%.
1%, 2%. You're not going to get much over time.
No, really
CDs, 3%?
Maybe
there you go, 3.25. You happy with that? Okay, for short term, right. But a Roth IRA is 40 years. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But they don't just give you coin, like, interest, you're just leaving their money in there?
They should. The CD should be paying you interest.
The Roth IRA.
The Roth IRA is simply the bucket. I'm not sure if I'm getting through that. The Roth IRA is simply the place you put the CDs. So the interest will go inside the Roth IRA. So you'll see the interest transactions, and you'll see the value of your Roth IRA go up. And then you'll have some more cash in there, or you can put more in yourself, contribute more, and then you can buy more CDs. Or, if you're at a bank or a credit union, they will usually, if they see this when they call up their screen, they'll say, oh, would you like to talk to one of our investment counselors? And then all of a sudden, you're not in the bank anymore. You now have gone over to the part of the bank that says investments, which is no longer Wells Fargo, it's now Wells Fargo Advisors. Or if it's a credit union, it's no longer Mission Federal, it's now CUSO, Credit Union something, I forget what it stands for, CUSO, Credit Union Something Services Organization. So you're no longer in a bank, and it's no longer guaranteed. You understand? I'm not sure if I'm not confused.
Well, like my mom has like her own daycare business, so she obviously doesn't get a 401k. She has her own Roth IRA. She puts money into it, but...
Where is she having?
Maybe Federal.
Maybe Federal. So she's probably putting CDs. Well, she needs to take Business 123, Introduction to Investments.
That's why I was like, what?
Now, if she has her own business, she can open up her own 401k. It's called a solo 401k. If you have your own business, you can create your own. Now, some of them, you got to be careful. 401ks, I'm a pain in the ass. I don't like them. But they're cool. You can put $18,000 into them right now. I think I went to 19. We'll see. We'll see. It's over here. But still, $6,000 in a Roth IRA, that's pretty darn good. You start early, do that. We'll see. Okay, there was a question over here.
Yes. I was wondering, 401k, can you invest in anything?
No. Yes. Yeah, hang on a minute. We're going a little slowly. I apologize. We'll get there in a minute. Yes.
How much do you split for, because you have a Roth IRA and a 403b?
I stopped putting money in the 403b about a year or so ago. But I continue to put the maximum in the Roth IRA. What's the maximum?
$6,000.
And because we're old, an extra $1,000. So $7,000 apiech. $7,000 for me, $7,000 for my wife. I stopped putting money on the 403B because it got too big. I thought, so it's time to start living. So we've been going to Mexico a lot more often. Okay, questions, thoughts? Ideas? Let's continue. All right, so now, how are we doing? We got a long way to go. Okay. All of the major mutual funds, brokerage firms, banks now have these retirement calculators. And really all they are marketing tools. You go, and these are actually two of the better ones, American Funds and T. Rowe Price. You go to their website and they say, oh, look at our retirement calculator. So you start putting all the data in and it says, okay, you're not saving enough money. Talk to one of our representatives. So it's really just a marketing tool. But they will help. They are very helpful. I've used them. Remember the longevity calculator? Play the longevity game. How long do you have to live? It says I'm going to make it till 92. I'm 62. That's 30 years. I don't think I'm going to make it to 92, but that's what it says. Social Security will send you an estimated benefits payment upon request. When you turn 60, they then start sending you every year. But if you sign up for their automated, they'll send it to you via email, so it's cheaper for them. And it's not much for me, personally, because I've been in the public sector most of my life. But I've done stuff outside, so I'm going to get Social Security. So here they are. Here are the types of accounts. That's the resist. The types of accounts are pre-tax and post-tax. Sound like a test question? Does it sound like a test question? Oh, I'm glad you're listening. Some of you aren't, but that's okay. Oh, why is that? Doesn't look purple, but it is. That's bad. See, I should be really throwing these out, but I'm going to be leaving in a few months. A few weeks now. Pre-tax and post-tax. The older one is the pre-tax. That's been around for decades now. And so 401ks, 403bs, 457s, the Thrift Savings Plan, which is an actual plan, actually. Anybody in the feds? Military? Good, yeah. It's basically a 401k, but they have their own code. They have their own section of the Internal Revenue Code. The traditional IRA, the SEP IRA, the simple IRA, the KEO. This reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. KEO. At the end of the KEO, KEO, KEO. Anyway, they're all basically the same. They all work the same. You put in money now, right? You get a tax break now. Okay? They reduce your taxes by putting money into one of these guys. What happens when you retire? They taxed as income. But that makes sense because in retirement, most people are in a lower tax bracket. So you put money away in a higher tax bracket, and then you take the money out in a lower tax bracket. Might not work that way, but that's the idea, right? The newer one, which is about 20 years old now, is the post-tax. That's the Roth 401k, the Roth 403b, the reason we put them in quotes. What happens now is you get no tax break. That's why I do the 403b and the Roth. I get a tax break now and no tax break now. No tax break now. But what happens in retirement?
No taxes on withdrawals.
What happens in retirement?
You don't get tax on withdrawals.
Tax-free in retirement. This is so cool. So everyone, we're not allowed to say that, but everyone should put money into a Roth IRA, in my humble opinion, because tax-free retirement is a golden opportunity. Now, here's the bucket we were talking about. I hope it makes sense. Okay? In a regular account, you go down to the bank, you go down to a brokerage firm, you open up a regular account, sometimes called a taxable account. You can put anything, any type of investment, real estate, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. You can do things that you shouldn't touch, options, margins, shorting, futures. Stay away from them. That's why I put X's through them. But the IRS has no problem. You can put anything in there. There's no limit to how much you can put in. And you're going to get taxed every year. At the end of the year, at the beginning of the next year, you're going to get 1099, which says you made $100 in your brokerage account. You made $100 in your savings account. And you have to pay taxes on that. Does that make sense? Now, these, what the IRS calls tax-qualified accounts, because retirement accounts are not the only ones. There's also educational savings accounts and health savings accounts. Health savings accounts are actually becoming more popular. So you put money into these things, right? There's strict limits. And I asked you back in Chapter 3, not that I wanted you to necessarily remember that, although a couple people have. It's just that I want you to have the experience of looking up stuff on your taxes. What's the limitation for the IRA? You already told me. $6,000 per year. It goes up with inflation. If you're 50 or over, it's $1,000. Where do you see the 401k? So there are limits on how much you can put in, and notice they limit what your investments can be. So no shorting or futures or options. And believe it or not, you can put real estate in there, but don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. So you see the difference? These are not the investments. These are the places you put the investments in. And if you put them here, the IRS blesses and kisses you, and you don't pay taxes until retirement, or you don't pay taxes at all. Doesn't that sound cool? It is very cool. Question?
So can you get a personal Roth IRA and then put your mutual fund in there, let's say you're talking about non-tax on it when you're... the purpose for retirement, you're not tax on it and you get it with the Roth?
As long as you wait until retirement. 59 and a half. There's a way to do it before that, but 59 and a half is the age the IRS has designated to Congress, basically. If you wait until 59 and a half, any money in the Roth is tax-free. All the contributions, well, that makes sense. You've already paid taxes on those. But all the earnings on the contributions and all the earnings on the earnings, all the compound earnings, it is awesome. It is a golden opportunity, and I think they're going to get rid of it eventually. Yes?
If you're in your, early 50s, you can switch from traditional to Roth.
You can convert. You can convert. But every time you convert, you have to pay taxes on the conversion. If you have money in your tax, this is more accounting, but yeah, you come see me if you have questions. If you have money in your traditional IRA, you can convert, you don't have to convert the whole thing. You can convert, $10,000 or whatever. You can pick it up, put it in your Roth, and then in the year you do that, you have to pay taxes on that. Well, that makes sense, right? But on whatever you converted, not the full amount. If you convert it, you can convert the whole thing if you want, but you're going to get hit with a huge tax bill. But then it'll be tax-free in retirement. It's pretty cool. Okay, so the most popular one is still the traditional IRA. It used to just be called an IRA, but now they call it traditional IRA to differentiate it between the Roth IRA. And Roth was a guy. He was a senator at the time. He was the guy who pushed this idea. That's why they named it the Roth. The contributions are normally tax-deductible. So as we said, you get a tax break now. But if you have a 401k or other type of pension plan at your employment, you may be in a situation where you cannot deduct it. In which case, you can still put it in, but you cannot deduct it from your taxes. So then you have a situation where some of the money is after tax, some of the money is pre-tax, and you got to remember how much is after tax. Because if you don't, when you go to retire, the IRS will say it's all pre-tax. You got to pay taxes on all of it. So you get taxed twice. So it's a bit of an accounting. It's not difficult, but you just have to keep track of your end-of-year statements. Save them. Don't lose them. As we said, the contributions are increased with inflation. The investment grows tax-deferred, and you pay taxes on the money as you withdraw it once you're retired, normally at 59.5. Once you hit 70.5, you're required to take the money out. If you don't take the money out, now you aren't going to be hit with this for years, and most of you, right? But if you have grandparents who have an IRA and they don't understand this, they could get hit with huge penalties if they don't start taking it out at 70.5. Most good companies, reputable companies, they know your birthday. They'll send you a letter saying, hey, you, because they can't do it automatically. They will send you a letter saying, you need to take this money out. If you have a good advisor, we get a report every year. We get a report of who has to do their RM, a required minimum distribution. So you guys won't, hopefully they're going to raise those, because some people are in their 70s and they're still working. And they're pissed. I don't want to take this money out, I'm still working. And that was the guy, Roth, William Roth, the senator. He was in the Senate, he was working, he was in his 70s, and he was having to take money out of his IRA. So he made sure the Roth IRA did not have that provision. The Roth IRA does not have any required minimum distribution, because that was named after him. And then all the cousins, the 401k, the 403b, the SEP IRA, the simple IRA, the simple 401k, the Roth IRA, the Roth 401k. Look at the limit. Look at the limit for a 401k. $19,000. Folks, if you're married and you both have a good job, right, one of you could put 19 grand into your 401k. You live off the salary of the other one. Say you're in your later 20s, early 30s. Do that for 5 years. Invest wisely. You'll never have to touch your retirement account again. You trust me? If you don't, I'll show you the illustrations. Put 5 years of, almost $20,000 into a, you can still put money in, but you don't have to put a whole lot. Because if you let it go for 30 years, and the world doesn't end, you'll be a very wealthy person. Okay, they all work very much the same as the traditional IRA, pre-tax, tax-deferred, except for the Roth 401k, which is post-tax, tax-free in retirement. So here it is. Here's the deal. You're working at a company that has a 401k, all right? 401k. You put in $100. Now, we even haven't even put the match here. Maybe they put $50, maybe they put $100. Some of them do. Up to, 3 or 4% or 6% of your salary. You put in $100, they'll put in $100. That's $100 free money. 100% return on your investment in one day. Who's going to give you that? Your employer, because they don't want to be bothered. When you leave, they want you to go away. We don't care how long you live. You're going to deal with it. Are you with me? Okay. So you put in $100. Now, what are the feds going to do for you? It depends on your marginal tax bracket. Remember we learned in Chapter 3 and you wanted to forget about the marginal tax bracket? Comes back again, doesn't it? So say you're in a 25% tax bracket. The feds are going to give you $25. Well, no, they're not going to write you a check for $25. They will take 25 fewer dollars out of your paycheck. Are you with me? You'll see 25 fewer dollars in that withholding. State of California, $4, $6, $8. So you put in $100, you actually see your take-home pay only reduced by $67. But the whole $100 goes in the account. Are you understanding that? You got $100 worth of investment for only $67. Plus, your company could be matching $50 or $100. Is that a deal? Is that a deal? Okay, what's the catch? There's always the catch, right? Well, as we said, you pay taxes on retirement when you withdraw the money. But you're supposed to be, traditionally, people are in a lower tax bracket. If you're not in a lower tax bracket, congratulations. I hope all my students and my clients and me are in this horrible position
that they are taking so much money out of their retirement accounts that they've moved up to another tax bracket. It's a champagne problem. Oh, too much champagne. What shall we do? You understand? So that's what I wish upon you, that you're in a lower tax bracket when you're working and a high tax bracket when you take the money out. And what happens if you withdraw the money before retirement? What are they going to do? They're going to tax you and hit you with a 10% penalty. Now, there are some exceptions. There are some exceptions. If you qualify for a home, first home purchase, which means you haven't owned a home within 2 years, if you qualify for a home first home purchase, the first $10,000 you take out of any retirement account is not hit with the 10% penalty. You still have to pay the taxes. Well, that makes sense. You didn't pay taxes going in. You pay them on the way out. But they don't hit you with the 10% penalty. And this is what happens to people. They have this 401k, and they've been saving, and then they lose their job. And they say, okay, I'll raid the 401k. Well, whatever they take out is hit at their marginal tax bracket plus another 10%. So they might have $10,000 in there, and they only get about $6,000 out. You see? About two-thirds. And so they're really very sad when they do that. Like, oh, damn, I didn't want to do that. No, you kiss the money, send it on its way, and say, I'll see you in 20, 30, 40 years. Are you ready to do that? Some people aren't. Some people say, I want to live today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Good luck. Now, how about a Roth IRA? Are Roth IRAs cool? Yes. But if you put in $100 in a Roth IRA, what did the Fed give you? What did the state of California give you? So you see your take-home pay reduced by $100. Your disposable income is reduced by $100. So the question is, why would you contribute to a Roth IRA? And some people are going to ask you that. They're going to say, why are you contributing to a Roth IRA? Because you're going to do it, right? Not your IRS. Oh, good. Because it's very cool. Here's the answer. This is what you're going to tell them. Because a Roth IRA is so cool. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, you have to answer, why do you contribute to a Roth IRA?
Because a Roth IRA is so cool.
No other investment choice. You know, comparing apples to apples, and there's some situations where you say, it would have been better to not pay the taxes. Some people say, don't believe them. In retirement, they're going to actually tax it anyway. But assuming that doesn't happen, I think the feds are going to get rid of them. They're going to look at all these billions of dollars in these things and say, we can't tax them, what are they going to do? Plus, you can withdraw the contributions out at any time with no penalty, no taxes. Why? You already pay taxes on the contributions. Not the earnings. You take out the earnings, they're going to hit you with the taxes and the 10% penalty. So this makes the Roth IRA also an excellent intermediate-term investment account. When folks in the lower tax brackets ask me, should I start an investment account for my children for college? I say, have you funded your Roth IRA first? Max out your Roth IRA first. It's like the airline, when the airbags come down, oxygen masks come down, put yours on first. Then take care of your kid. Because the cool thing is, did you fill out the FAFSA form? People call it FAFSA, but FAFSA form. Did you fill out the FAFSA form? Did they ask how much was in your Roth IRA or your parents' Roth IRA? No. If you put money into an educational savings account, they're going to ask you. And they're going to want you to pull that money out before they give you any financial aid. They don't do it with the Roth. At least now, they may change the FAFSA form. If you go to a private university, they're going to want you to pull out money out of your Roth IRA. They consider it liquid. Pull it out. You're coming here. Any questions? Any thoughts? Cool. So you're going to start a Roth IRA? Now, a Roth IRA is for everyone. But we're not allowed to say that. We're not allowed to say that a Roth IRA is for everyone. But I say it anyway. You just have to learn how to navigate the paperwork. Now, see if you can follow me on this. And if you can't, don't worry about it because you're not alone. There are limitations on the contributions to a Roth IRA depending on how much money you make. Not a traditional IRA. There's no limitation on the contributions depending on how much money you make. But in the Roth IRA, yes. So only single taxpayers with an adjusted gross income of $122,000 or less in 2019 goes up with inflation, or married couples with an adjusted gross income of $193,000 or less in 2019 can fully contribute to a Roth IRA, and if you don't qualify, congratulations. Because $122,000 of adjusted gross income, $193,000, not too shabby, right? Would you be happy with that?
Yes.
Good.
However, you can still do it. Huh? You go ahead and contribute to the Roth IRA, right? If you find or you know that you're going to go over the limit, this is what you do. I've helped people do it before they file their taxes. You recharacterize the Roth IRA contributions into a traditional IRA. That's the word that the IRS uses. Recharacterize them. So you take the contributions from the Roth IRA, you recharacterize them, put them in the traditional IRA. Then, on the very same day, you fill out the paperwork to convert the traditional IRA back into a Roth IRA. Did you follow me? Doesn't matter. When you're making over $122,000, talk to me, okay? Who voted for these bozos? Oh, yeah, we did. And you ask the congressman, why did you do that? They said, we don't know. This is what we did. So that's in the tax. Did you understand it? Yeah, some of you did, some of you didn't. Don't worry about it. You can still contribute to a Roth IRA no matter how much money you're making. You just recharacterize and then convert back into it. Now, here is something that is very cool for people who are not making a whole lot of money. The feds will give you tax credits. Do we love tax credits? Yes, we do. So you're putting $50 a month into a Roth IRA. You might get up to $300 back in tax credits. So you essentially put $600 in for $300 because they give you $300 back. And I think there's a pretty generous limit. $32,000 for a single person, $64,000 for a married couple. That's not a bad salary. You think? Oh, good. Some of you are looking at me. But so you put money into a 401k, a Roth IRA, and they might give you tax money back. A lot of people don't know about these. If you use TurboTax or TaxSlayer, one of the computerized ones, they'll ask you, did you put money in a Roth IRA? You say, yes. Okay, yeah, you're going to get a tax credit. If you have somebody do your taxes, don't forget to mention, here in my 403B, I put money in my Roth IRA. And because they're not going to call you up and say, oh, you're qualified for this. They're not going to do that. The IRS is not going to do that. Questions, thoughts? Okay, let's keep going. All right, now, the Roth, notice in quotes, the IRS, the Internal Revenue Code doesn't call it a Roth 401k. What they call it is a 401k that has post-tax contributions. And your employer does not have to offer it. If they offer a 401k, they do not have to, but most of them do. More accounting, more software. So you put in the money post-tax. And folks in the lower tax brackets, it makes sense, you know, because you'll get a tax-free in retirement. Now, there's a couple of differences. You can't take those contributions out like you can in the Roth IRA. Plus, any matching is pre-tax. So now, as we said before, you've got some after-tax money, some before-tax, some post-tax, some pre-tax. And when you go to take the money out, you better be able to show the IRS how much is after-tax, how much is pre-tax, or they're going to say it's all taxable. So it's a bit of an accounting problem. This is what I did. Put pre-tax into my 403B, post-tax into a Roth IRA, but you decide. It's not a big deal. But if your company matches the contributions, it's a no-brainer. That's 50%, 100% return on your money in one day. Cool? Okay. Now, here are the anticipated... Not bad. I actually burned through that a lot quicker than I thought I would. I hope I didn't bore you too much. Because some of you are going, retirement? Why should I think about retirement now? Are you? Hope not. This is according to the Social Security Administration. This doesn't look too good, does it? That's a 27%. It looks better on the screen, I guess. This is what Social Security says. Folks, look, don't count on us for all your income. It's supposed to be one-third or one-fourth of your income. You need multiple sources of income, and you're going to have them if you buy some real estate, your home, and you not have to pay the housing, put money in your Roth IRA, your 401k. So you understand, Social Security was never meant to be your only retirement. Tell that to your parents. They'll go, oh, yeah? Okay. We got a problem. Questions, thoughts, ideas? In other words, what is your spouse coming to the table with? What are they paying? What are you paying? I mean, again, these pensions are disappearing. See, for me, this is a lot higher for me because we have an awesome pension plan, which people want to get rid of. Because the school teachers, they don't deserve it. No.
But firefighters and police, yeah, they deserve it. You know how the best, you know when you know who has the best pension plan? Prison guards. God, did they get paid well? Anyway, so everybody stretch. I'll get you out of here sooner. I didn't think it would be like, oh, wait a minute. No. I almost forgot. Sorry about this. Okay, everybody stretch. Wake up. Now, we have been, oops, let's balance. On the website, I'll show you where if you want to look at yourself. We, in chapters 11, 12, 13, and real estate investment alternatives, we've been talking about building up our nest egg, right? Well, now, how are we going to distribute that? How are we going to buy it down? We're going to go to Tahiti and spend it all in one? No. We're going to create an income for ourselves. Now, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, you were told you should keep everything in bonds because bonds are safe. In retirement, you should not be in the stock market. It's too dangerous. Well, you know what? That was great 30 years ago when people retired at 62 and died at 64 or 67 or whatever. But now people are retiring at 62 and dying at 92. They need some growth. So we're going to take a look at two hypothetical illustrations withdrawing money in retirement. The bond-only retirement portfolio and a balanced fund, which is balanced funds for many people are very cool, especially people who are frightened. And we're starting with $500,000. Can you accumulate? Did you see how well we can do if we invest prudently and wisely? Can we do better than $500,000? I certainly hope you do better than $500,000. And if you need help, contact me or find somebody you trust. So let's take a look at the bond only. And you've seen these, right? Be afraid, be very afraid. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are the deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Read all this stuff because you need to know that you could lose money. And if you do and you try to sue us, we'll say, did you read the stuff? And you'll say no, and they say, I don't care. Okay, so here's our initial investment. So after 30 years, we got $500,000 in our 401k or Roth IRA. Cool? Yeah? What are we going to do with it? Vegas? No. We're now going to create a stream of income. We're going to create our own pension plan. And we're going to say, we'll take 5% out. Typically, you're told 4% is a better choice. Because you take 5% out, there's more of a chance of outliving it. But 4%, I think, is a little too conservative, my humble opinion. But you decide. And if you have a financial advisor, they may come up with some other. There's lots of different schemes, by the way. So we're going to start with 5%, and then we're going to increase that amount, which happens to be $25,000. We're going to increase that amount by 3% every year. But that's what's inflation. Right now, inflation is a little less than that. But over the last 60, 70 years, inflation has been about 3%. So we'll increase that amount by 3%. So notice it's not $25,000 because we're starting on April. So it's only 9 months, right? No. Yeah, April, 9 months. But then you see it's $25,000. We see it going up. See the withdrawals going up? Because we're increasing it by 3%. And what's happening to our value of our investment? Well, the first year it went down a little bit. Why? Because 94 was one of the few years that bonds went down. But bonds started to do it pretty well, and you see the nest egg increasing. It's doing better than the 5% until 2008, where everybody went down, and we had, in 2007, 555. Notice it went down a little bit in 2007. Yeah, interest rates went up, bonds went down. But then 2008... Notice, though, it's not that bad, but it's still, we're in our 80s now. And so, but our income is increasing, right? But notice what happens after 2008. In 2008, we start a downward trajectory because our bonds are no longer producing enough income to offset the withdrawals. But this is what people expected. This is what was expected in retirement. So if we look at the grid, but notice, how much did we take out? Out of our $500,000, we took $900,000. Would we be able to take that much money if we had it in a bank at CDs? Hell no. The banker's going to lick his chops, her chops, when you come in with $500,000, because they're going to lend it out at 22% on credit cards, but you're not going to be able to generate anywhere near this amount. But the bonds, you're able to. But look, our nest egg's looking pretty slim here.
I got a few more years to live anyway. Who really cares? But there's the graph. The first year, 94, was a year interest rates went up, bonds went down, so a bit of a downturn. But then it came back and sort of, you know, did pretty well. And then here's 2008. But notice it started to go down before 2008 because our withdrawals are increasing. And now this is what we would expect in the past. It's just normal. You're going to, you know, draw down your nest egg. What if we decide, you know, we're going to take some prudent risks. We're going to find, either invest in very high quality companies that have been around for decades, or choose a mutual fund that does that for us. And this is that balance fund that we looked at, right? It's been around in one form or another since 1937. Never more than 75% stocks, 25% bonds, never less than 50-50. And we're going to put the $500,000 in our nest egg in this guy. Be afraid, be very afraid. You're going to lose money. You're a school fool. Don't do it. So $500,000, again, same exact strategy. 5%, 3% a year increase. So the withdrawals are exactly the same. Notice in the late 90s, throughout the 90s, the stock market went in two directions, up and way up. And then by 2003, it went down a little bit in 2001 and 2 because stocks got hammered, but bonds went up. So the downturn was not as bad. Notice, we're doing okay, right? You're feeling pretty comfortable. You didn't change your withdrawal strategy. You probably would change your withdrawal strategy. But what happened in 2007? Did what?
That would hurt.
Maybe give us a heart attack. Maybe we're now in the advanced stages of dementia. We don't care. I have a client like that. We're taking care of her, and she doesn't know what the hell's going on, but she did really well for herself. Thank you very much. So look at what happens. Since when Obama took over, the Antichrist. Did I tell you about that student of mine? I didn't tell you. I think I did. She's sitting over there saying, our family kept the kids home today back in Texas because the Antichrist has been elevated and the rapture is going to happen. Okay, fine. You should not be allowed to vote. Those people should not be allowed to vote. They shouldn't even be allowed to have kids. Anyway, so notice the withdrawals are exactly the same, right? But what's the end result? We got 5.6% from the bonds, 9.4%. Now, I don't think this bond fund, this balance fund is going to do as well over the next 25 years. I really don't. I own it. I love it. I recommend it to people, but I don't think it's going to do that well. But I hope it does, or at least I hope it does at least, you know, somewhat. So we see, we don't see that huge exponential. We don't see it because it takes a lot more time. But notice the downturn. You know, it's kind of, it was over 102 when it went down a little bit, but stayed up. And then 2007, but now you start to see a much wider exponential curve. So cool. Even in retirement, you want to have some stocks. That's the takeaway. All right? So you wait? Okay, yes.
Are some people like, they just live off their return on investment, like the growth, like you say they invest in stocks, but they live off just the profit they get.
Yeah, you need, well, that's when you get to this. Yeah. But it's not, you're going to have Social Security, maybe you have an investment property, maybe you have a part-time job or something like that. It's not going to be the only thing. But if you have a big nest egg, then sure. I had one student who was in the 123 class, and his family was very wealthy. He showed me their one, I think it was just one of many. They had you ever heard of the Meridian downtown? It's one of those huge high rises where they have those million-dollar apartments. They had this one, and they were trying to fix it up. It hasn't been rented. Nobody wants to live in it. What's the rent on that thing? Oh, we can get $5,000 a month. They didn't even seem to care. The city thing is empty, and they could get $5,000 a month for the rental of this place, or they could sell it for a couple million. So anyway, $12 million account. $12 million account. They're being charged 1% by the Wells Fargo advisors
That's $120,000 a year they were paying to have some bozo like me just look over it. And I and Wells Fargo Advisor put it on the last page. We showed one today in the 123 class. They put it on the front page, Fidelity. But I showed it. It was like $10,000. It was $10,000 whatever something about. I said, do you understand what this is? He goes, no. Do you understand you're being charged $10,000 a month for them to manage your account? And they were doing an okay job. I mean, I wouldn't pay that much money for it. I wouldn't expect anybody to pay me that much money for it. He goes, no. I said, you going to tell the folks? He goes, yeah, I guess so. And then he dropped the glass. This is what you're going to find, folks. You're going to find, and do they need your help? Do they need somebody who's honest, have ethics, knows their... Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They need somebody... do they have somebody now who is honest and ethical? No, no. This is what you're up against. So if you come into the industry with ethics, honesty, wanting to help people, you're going to do well because they're out there, idiots. Okay. This he was from L.A. Basically, we have a serious problem, dear students, but we're living with it. Between 1940 and 2010, the average lifespan has increased by 15 years. People are living far longer. While the average retirement age, the retirement age for Social Security has increased only 2 years. So you saw that, right? You saw that the Social Security has increased from 65 to 67. But now people are living 15 or 20 years longer. In 1940, there were very few retirees per worker. Most workers, particularly men, everybody smoked, didn't live that long. They just didn't live to 65. Now, not only do most workers reach retirement age, their retirement lasts an average of how long? Every day for the next 15 so years, 10,000 people will reach their 65th birthday. That's us, the baby boom generation. What's going on? So look, in 1940, when Social Security was created, there were 30 workers for every one retiree. In 2010, it had dropped to 3-1. By 2015, it'll be 1.5 workers for every one retiree. Huh? How did that happen? How did we manage to go from 30 workers per retiree down to 3 workers without significant economic upheaval? Well, when you think about what's happened over the last 70 years or so, 80 years, it makes sense. 2-worker families have become the norm. Right? It used to be that daddy went to work and fondled the secretary, and mommy stayed home and slapped the kids and took Valium. Is that what's going on now? No, mommy and daddy go to work. Luckily, if daddy still had the job, mommy's now the supervisor. And so you go from 30-1 down to 15-1 just by adding another worker from the family. Make sense? So we drop from 30 to 15. Plus, productivity gains have been substantial, huge. It used to be that companies had these huge bureaucracies because mostly what they were doing was moving information around. Now with technology, do you have secretary pools who just do typing all the time? No, you got your own damn PC. Do it yourself. Right? And technology has increased productivity so that one person can do the work of 4 or 5 used to do. And simply put, here's the biggest reason. The number of children per worker has diminished. There's a reason why we're called the baby boom generation. 5 kids, 4, 6 kids was normal. If there were 1 or 2 kids in that family, there was something very fishy about them. Probably communist sympathizers. Because it was your patriotic duty after World War II to have as many kids as you could to beat those Ruskies. You don't believe me, do you? Have you seen Dr. Strangelove? Now here's a movie I want you to see. Okay, it's not a book. Maybe I should have a book. I didn't see that. If it is a book, I didn't read it. It's called Doctor Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. So you'll see some Cold War commentary in Doctor Strangelove, and this is us. I mean, see, we don't do this, but when I was in first grade, we did duck and cover. Have you heard of duck and cover? So you see the bright flash of the nuclear weapon, and you get underneath your desk and cover. Right. Yeah, right. It was just there to make people feel good because you're going to go, good stuff. The 10,000 degrees will wipe the tear from your eye. So what's happened, folks, is instead of having lots of little niños running around, we now have lots of abuelos. Because how many people have five or six kids these days? What the hell's the matter with you? They know what causes that now. Snip, snip, it's all over. It's over here, right? It's easy, guys. Well, it's a little painful, but it's easy. Yeah, the fact they call it the ESPN vacation. You get to sit on the couch for 2 days and watch television for 2 days. Okay, so what's happened is we've moved the dependence from children up to older folks. The problem is twofold. Baby boomers are not saving enough for their retirement. And I was listening. I wish I had saved it. I didn't save it. But it was a radio show called Sound Money. It's now called Marketplace Money or something like that. And they were talking to baby boomers. And this one guy, and every time I say it, it sounds like I'm sing-songing. But he just said it very matter-of-fact. He's going to work until he dies. Unless a big bucket of cash falls out of the sky, I'm going to be working until I die. He has not saved a dime. So he thinks he's going to be able to work into his 70s, into his 80s, into his 90s. Think he's going to be able to do it? Hell no. Maybe he will. You know, some people do it. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. In fact, I know I'm not going to be able to do it. There will not be enough workers to service the economy. What? We're going to have a shortage of workers? Remember all the baby boomers retiring? How many Gen Xers are coming up? 46 million. 76 million are retiring. Let alone provide the health care and other services that the retirees will demand. The average person between ages 60 and 70 uses more medical resources than they did between 0 and 59. You remember that statistic? One third of all Medicare dollars are just being spent to keep somebody alive for 3 or 4 more months. So, what do we do? How do we solve this problem? Get baby boomers to save more. Put those maximums in, $19,000 plus another $6,000, $25,000 a year. Well, unfortunately, it just ain't happening. Would you raise Social Security taxes? We could do that. In fact, just talk about it. What's the problem with that? Are you going to be happy having your taxes go from 8% up to 16%? No, because the younger generation is going to revolt. But do younger generation vote? They did for Obama. In 2008 and 2012, the younger folks voted in droves. But typically, young folks don't vote. So who are the politicians going to listen to when they vote to increase the taxes?
AARP.
They're going to listen to AARP. American Association of Retarded Persons. I'm going to be one of them soon. But I don't think I'm going to join ARP. They sent one to my wife. My wife's a little older than me. They sent one to her when she turned 50. They sent them to me. They know your age, right? So she got really upset. Don't worry. So I wrote back and said, oh, you got the wrong person. This person's only 32 years old. And it worked. She didn't get them anymore. I still get them. Okay. So, it ain't happening. It just is not happening. And right now, the first $128,700 you make, I have to upgrade that for 2019. This is the amount you pay taxes on Social Security. Once you go above that, you don't pay taxes on Social Security anymore. So the very wealthy only pay a certain amount of money on their Social Security. And so some people say it's not fair. Well, the Social Security Administration comes back and says, you don't understand. People who make a whole lot of money, there's a limit on how much Social Security benefits we're going to pay them. So there's a limit on how much they have to pay on taxes. But there are people who say, raise the limit. Just get rid of the limit because the wealthy should pay more. You decide. How about lowering the benefits? Do you think that's going to go over well? The older generation with their canes? No, it ain't going to happen. Okay, what about investing Social Security in the stock market? You heard about this before the Great Recession, and then you haven't heard about it since until about last year. Now you hear people saying, why can't we invest in the stock market? Because 2008 comes along every once in a while and people will lose 50% of their money and they'll take it out just at the worst time. Yeah. Okay. However, financial solutions alone will not work. An economy consists of both supply and demand. Let's assume our generation has saved enough for their retirement. There's enough demand.
If there's not enough goods and services to service the demand, there's insufficient supply. You accounting, economics majors, what happens if the demand goes up and the supply doesn't go up? The price is going to go up, right. If I save more than everyone else, then I can retire without a problem. There'll be enough goods and services to supply my demand. But if everyone saves more, then everyone will want the same goods and services. Everyone will be bidding up the prices of healthcare, leisure, retirement housing, or everyone will have to accept lower prices for their saved financial assets, since everyone will be trying to sell them at the same time. Now, people have been predicting this. They've been saying the stock market's going to crash because the baby boomers are going to start selling it, but your generation is buying it. The millennials, as they're called, the digital generation, whatever, you are investing at a rate, I forget the exact number, but much higher than previous generations, which means I'm successful. I'm doing my job. Or maybe I think it's just the fact that you get a job and they automatically put 5% of your income into a 401k and you're too lazy to go down there and sign the paperwork to have them not do it. I don't know. I'm not that smart. But it's not happening. How about increasing productivity? Well, this is cool. We want to do this because it grows the pie. But it's the same problem as raising taxes because you have to share that with the younger generation. You just can't take all the productivity and give it to the older folks. How about increasing developing world trade at a day when Pinochet Trump is destroying world trade? This is cool, folks. The next engine of world economic growth, in my humble opinion, I showed you on Tuesday. Some of you stuck around. So those folks who stuck around, I showed you the videos, not the videos, the pictures of the African hut with the satellite dish and the camel guy with his cell phone. The third world, as it used to be called, developing world, as we call it now, or emerging markets, don't use the word third world, is growing. But how do you trade goods and services that are needed by retirees with the third world? It's not easy. I mean, healthcare, golf memberships, assisted care. How do we do that? Remember the surgery vacations? You need your gallbladder removed? Would you go to Korea or Mexico or whatever? Yeah, we'll give you $5,000.
Tijuana care,
yeah. The doctors were trained in the States. How about immigration? Oh, boy, isn't this a great topic right now. How has the United States grown our economy over 200 years? Immigrants. We're a nation of immigrants. Have you ever visited a nursing home or assisted living care facility? Yeah? Who's working there? What? Filipinos. Somalians. Latin folks. Russians. East Europeans. My mother-in-law had, we didn't know his name. We called him Sasha. Gorgeous. We figured it was really sexist to say that. But he looked Russian, or maybe, you know, he was gorgeous. Blonde. And she used to go, she used to look up at him every time she saw him. She's in a wheelchair. She had several strokes. But he would help her, and she'd just look, oh. We'd say, Sasha's taking care of grandma. But to maintain the same ratio of workers to retirees, we'd have to bring in 85 million people. You think that's going to happen?
No.
No, we're down to a couple hundred thousand a year, which is stupid because we need them, but anyway, I'm not going to get politics. How about getting rid of the old folks? Anybody want to go to Costa Rica? But that means 120,000 retirees leaving each month for the next 30 years? No. The above two scenarios will help. Hopefully, Pinchy Trump will get kicked out next year, and we'll not screw immigrants anymore, because that's who we are. We're all immigrants. When people say, I'm a San Diego native, I say, yeah, which tribe? And even they came from someplace else, right? They came from Asia, and the Asians came from Africa. We're all from Africa, eventually. The above two scenarios will help somewhat, but not significantly. So how are we going to do it? Here's the punchline. How are we going to do it? Raise the retirement age. Think. People are living 15 to 20 years longer. We've only raised the retirement age from 65 to 67. To maintain the current ratios to workers retirees, we would need to raise the accepted retirement age to about 72 or 73 by 2030. Now, the cool thing about this is we don't need to get the Congress involved, although we would like it to happen. But it's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen by itself. Because retirement will simply become unaffordable or unavailable. And it's already happening. Retirees are returning to work. They're retiring at 62 and going back to work at 64 because they're bored. Or they have a great idea for a business. Or they need some money. Or the my wife says, she told me, she doesn't say this anymore. So when you retire, I'm getting a full-time job. Because I don't want to be around here with you all day around. That's the joke. Anyway, retirees are returning to work. Their health is good. They want to be productive. Businesses are accommodating older workers. Fewer hours, more flexible work schedules. You're now hearing politicians saying that we need the retirement age, raise the retirement age. Just a few years ago, any politician who said this would have been strung up, really. They would have destroyed them. So we will solve this problem. We have faced serious problems before. The American economy is extremely resilient. The American people are extremely resourceful. A combination of some of the previous possible solutions will be implemented without formal planning or consensus. See, we are incredibly resilient and resourceful. We're horrible at planning. The Europeans, they're always planning. And we say, why don't you guys do something? We're planning. The Americans are jumping in. No, we want to do something. No, we're planning. The Americans, we don't want to plan. We wait until the crisis happens. Then we work. Then we do it. And then we're awesome when we do it. So we will be living in interesting times. Maybe you heard the supposed ancient Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. Not really, but we say it then. So here, the nature, here's the bottom line, folks. I'm going to let you go. The nature of retirement will change. Expect on living much longer than you ever thought you would. Yeah. Expect on working much longer than you ever thought you would. Ooh. Start saving now. Rumble. Cool? Yes, but the news is good. And if you start now. Okay, next Tuesday, we will finish our material with the final chapter of life. Death. Estate planning. And if you have any questions you want to ask for Baffle the Broker, which is next Thursday, please come on up here and ask them. We got one question. This was for 123, though, right? This is 123, right. Okay. Who snuck in late? Why don't you send me an email?
Okay.
And I'll give you an updated grade, because you turned in some things, right?
Wait, is this the turn-in?
Turn-in. Do you have something to get back?
I thought I might have. Maybe not.
No, Tara and... That's it. Tara and Carlos Martinez. Okay, so who snuck in late? Carlos Martinez, Eric, and Adrian, and Tara's gone. What happened to Tara? Amy, Amy, do you know Tara? Are you friends? No. Okay. All right. I sent her an email. How could she just disappear? It's the end of the semester. Why would you just disappear now? It doesn't make any sense. Yes, today we're going to talk about mutual funds. We're having somebody from Franklin Templeton, which is an excellent company, by the way. I don't invest with them, but I think they're a great company. I have some clients that have some of the mutual funds. But they're a great company. He's been in the business for years. He's pretty sharp. His name is John Lundy. So come on, 12 o'clock. Here.
12 o'clock?
Yeah, right here.
I have a class right now.
Well, 12 o'clock is not... Oh, poo.
Yeah.
Oh, poo. My apologies. Okay. Oh, well. Next semester. Next semester. Okay.